I knew a friend who changed church after a very long time. And she told me that she needed to because she needed to hear the message that God loved her. And she needed to hear that message every single Sunday. She said, I had to have the experience that God wants me to be happy. She had been through a very difficult childhood and was alone in the world. And she wasn't getting that from the place of worship where she was attending. And fortunately for her, close to her, she did find a church that was that way and has remained there ever since and has become, it's a United Church actually, perfectly fine, has become their equivalent of wardens and a choir, and it's very fulfilling for her. I mentioned that today because she finally found the grace of God and experienced joy that she had not known in life and in worship. And we get this very much that she lived out St. Paul's instructions to the Philippians today, which we just heard. And he says, rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, I say rejoice. And what a great segue into the third week of Advent, known as Gaudete. It's your choir. How do you say it? Gaudete, yes, thank you. Or rejoice. Some words you just can't get in the morning. And as we light the pink candle of joy instead of the penitential blue candles that we have been lighting, did I ever tell you my pink candle cathedral joke? Probably not, because this is usually the Sunday where we have the lessons and carol service, but it just sort of worked out that way. Okay, I'll tell you my point. So I'm a curate at the cathedral. A curate, by the way, is just like a, you know, you're a new priest. You have to be a new priest for 2 years. And part of a curate's job is to do the tours of the church. So it was Christmas time, Advent time, and we were going around, and we get to the candles, and someone always asks, so why the pink candle? You know, it's an obvious question. I mean, there's four of them, three are blue and one's pink. Why pink? And so I was just in one of those funny moods. I decided that I had a little imp on my shoulder and I should try something different. So in all seriousness, I go, well, that's a really good question. It's pink because it's the gay candle. And the pink gay candle represents the hope that sometime in the future, all people will have tasteful interior design. And they bought it, hook, line, and sinker. I had to go, I'm so sorry, I'm kidding. It represents joy, as it does. Joy. Joy. So this Sunday is the Sunday of joyfulness, as Christmas is proclaimed. Paul says to us this Sunday, not to be troubled, but to delight in the assurance that God's peace passes all understanding. So it is ironic and perhaps even sad that in this season, that in this time of year, can be for some a most anxious time of year. Everything should be better, it should be wonderful, it should be the best it could possibly be, and sometimes that's not possible. In some ways, Paul isn't actually helping here. He says to those who may not be rejoicing, he says, just pray to God and supplicate yourself and all will be well. Well, maybe, maybe not. Crisis, tragedy, and sorrow cannot always so easily be overcome, even when the day calls for the pink candle of joy. On such days, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, part of the reading today, can be hard to find, even though Paul promises it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As I mentioned last week, Advent is a time for reflection and not the material happiness our commercial culture would seem to promise. Joy is found in faith, in our abiding faith, and holds us and stands by us come what may. Joy comes from our deep spiritual connection to God and not from the latest Nintendo game. However, I think we really do ought to be careful here. Preaching against materialism to those who are poor, to those who are struggling, is, at to say the least, insensitive. I recall the story of the rich young man in the Gospels. The rich young man heard about Jesus, he heard about his teaching, he was so wanting to be with Jesus and wanting to change his life. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "What you need to do, young man, is to get rid of all your material things, give them to the poor, and follow me." And what people often miss, I think, in that story is that Jesus was talking to this particular young man. I don't know that he would say that to everyone. What he diagnosed with this particular young man is that that was his problem. He was attached to all his material things and couldn't see beyond that. And so he said, "You need to let them go and follow me." And the young man could not. His problem was that he was overly attached to all his things and could not give them up to be in a closer relationship with God. It is important to know that either rich or poor, or wherever you are in between, the want of material things will not make you happy. I mean, I know you've all heard that before, but it's amazing how in our culture people assume they do. How many times have you heard of the story of a young person, either an athlete or a movie star, or the other parts of fame, who rise up to the occasion and win the Super Bowl or win the Academy Award, and then right after that they hit rock bottom? Winning the Super Bowl and winning the Academy Award is no small feat. Very few people do it. But that was their complete focus, without thinking beyond that material goal. And once they reach it, sometimes at a very young age, they don't know where to go from there. It simply wasn't deep enough for our human psyche, for our human heart, for our human mind, for our human soul that wants a connection with God. So what is the key to happiness? Paul suggests one of them. He says, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone." He says, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone." Other way to put this would be to be merciful to everyone, to forgiving to everyone, to be considerate to everyone, compassionate to, yes, you guessed it, everyone, to all others, to everyone. And notice there's kind of a all or nothing here. There's not really any gray. Give yourself to other people. I have two stories for you. One, both touching, I think. I was watching a documentary recently about this young man who basically started this movement of surfers, I think in the early 1980s. He was a young man in Hawaii and started this movement of a surfing community, if you want to call it that, which grew and grew and grew into this really amazing, not just competitive field, but also kind of a culture, like a culture of surfing kind of a thing. Anyway, he did this kind of by himself, by attracting people and all this, but he was a young man. He was living at home, and he would keep attracting people, living at home with his mother. They're alone by themselves in her home. More and more young people would come to his place, until one point there was like 100 young men living in this woman's home, and she just sort of said, "Well, it just feels so right. It just feels like a community. You know, if you had asked me this before, I would have said absolutely not." And it was recent, so they showed pictures. I mean, you know, people literally sleeping side by side on the floor. And, I mean, we're talking young, you know, 20s young men with, what, two bathrooms? I mean, you can imagine. mess these guys make. You know, they said sand was about that high off the ground and all sort of thing. And she loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was her calling. It was what she was meant to do. The other story, and I might have told you this before, I was in Toronto once, and I heard the journalist Stevie Cameron do a talk, and she was talking about, it was at Trinity College, I was taking a course there, and she was talking about a program that she started called Out of the Cold, and it was a program that went into churches at night and used their otherwise unused kitchens to put on a meal for the homeless. Kind of makes a lot of sense, you know. So it wasn't you wouldn't stay there overnight, but you'd come in out of the cold and have a hot meal and then go. In kitchens that, again, would otherwise not be used. And I don't know if you've ever met Stevie Cameron, but she's a pretty tough individual. She's a reporter and a pretty tough person. And at the end of her speech, she said this, and I wrote it down to quote, "I would like to thank all the homeless who use our programs because," and then she paused and started to cry and composed herself and started to cry again and composed herself and finished the sentence. And she said, "Because they have given me so much more than I could ever give them." It's interesting who Jesus invites to his table, isn't it? And what he would often do, he would go into a small town and one of the leaders of the town, usually a religious leader, would invite Jesus over to their home, say, "Have dinner with us so we can learn more about you." And I don't know whether Jesus asked them or not, but he would go around the town and say, "So I'm going to dinner tonight, will you come along with me?" And it would be the modern day equivalent of inviting Jesus, and Jesus shows up at the door at 5 o'clock and he says, "By the way, I've got some friends with me. A couple of biker gang guys, some drug addicts from downtown, they're trying recovery, but you know, they're in a bad shape. Lots of homeless people, they're gonna come in too, some sex trade workers, if that's okay. They're all my friends, so they're gonna come in and have dinner with us." What is interesting about all this is that we are meant to offer who we are and what we have to all others, which gives them joy, and in this strange, wonderful, mystical way of God, gives us joy as well. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be joyful. But the happiness is not achieved by pursuing happiness itself. It is achieved by doing God's will and loving all others. We lit the candle of joy today. Let us give thanks for the joy in all our lives. And as we do, be aware that there are some with no reason to be joyful today. And so we share our joy with them. And we share it today and in the future. And as we share our joy, we remember that the joy of the gospel is always to be shared, forever and always. Amen.